Thank you very much to the choir for ministering in song tonight. We are here to give glory to Christ. He was the newborn king back then, 2,000 years ago. He's still the king.
He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and we worship him as such. We give him the glory that's due his name, and we honor Christ tonight. What a wonderful Savior he is. And it's good tonight to hear so many songs and so many scriptures that remind us of his coming into the world and that moment when he was brought forth. I want to speak tonight on the first advent of Christ, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul is giving a little word of testimony as he writes to this young minister of the gospel, as he writes to Timothy. And I'm going to read just a few verses with you from verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This 15th verse is my text tonight. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let us pray and ask God's blessing in the close of the meeting tonight as we come to the Word, that the Lord will be with us and speak to our hearts. Almighty God, we thank thee for all that has gone before, for the ministry that we have listened to in song, and for the reading of your precious Word. We thank thee that these things have a quickening effect upon us when the truths of your word are applied to the heart by the power and ministry of the Spirit. We do seek that work tonight. We pray that thou wilt continue with us, that your presence will fill this church building, that the Holy Spirit, who has been sent into the world as the Comforter and the great Teacher, will come among us tonight and minister to every waiting heart. We pray that thou wilt speak to us now, that thou wilt speak especially to those who know not the Savior, and open their hearts to the gospel. And for your own dear people, Lord, may we rejoice again in our dear Savior, who came into the world to save us from our sin. And may this meeting continue to be a blessing to our souls, in Jesus' name. Amen. The great apostle Paul, in his writing to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 9, he spoke about the Lord Jesus appearing the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That happened 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus came. And then he went on to speak about the Lord appearing again the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming again to put away sin. That has been dealt with. That has been done once and for all. But he's coming again. What a glorious day that will be when Jesus comes. And he's coming to receive us unto himself, that his people, saved by his grace, might be with him forever. These two great events, the first advent and the second advent of Christ, dominated the ministry of the great apostle, responsible for writing over half of the New Testament books. We see that Paul gives emphasis to these comings of the Savior. He came 2,000 years ago, and he's coming again gloriously one day to receive us to himself. This time of the year, attention is drawn especially to the first advent, when Christ came the first time. Paul deliberating on this event in his writings. He spoke of how God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. And how that Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. He further highlighted to the Romans that God's own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, in chapter 1, verse 3. In writing to the Thessalonians, he declared the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. We have that very powerful text in Galatians 4 and verse 4, and taking also the fifth verse, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here, writing to Timothy, he declares in his testimony statement this first advent, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This text has been a favorite verse of Scripture and an oft-quoted verse of the Bible for centuries, preeminently because it conveys the heart of the gospel. It is the gospel in a nutshell. It reminds us of the shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. You can think of the parable of our Savior in Luke chapter 15, how the shepherd went out after the one lost sheep that sought for him, searched for him all the night through until he found him, placed him upon his shoulders, and brought him back to the fold. This is a faithful saying. That word faithful simply means trustworthy. You can trust what Paul is saying here. And it's worthy. That means it's deserving. It's certainly deserving of our attention. Paul says it's worthy of all acceptation. In other words, it's worthy to be accepted, to be received. I trust that you will accept it tonight. I pray that you will come to the same testimony and the same confession of the great apostle here, that you will be able to say from personal experience, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I want you to notice three very simple things about this first advent of Christ as we have it here expressed in the words of the apostle. First of all, we have the proclamation of this advent, and it's there in the words, Christ Jesus came into the world. This is an amazing statement, one that we do well to ponder and grasp as far as it lies within us. Christ, the anointed one of God, and Jesus, the Savior of man, the word Jesus means Savior, came into the world. And that, my friends, is the incarnation. That is the beginning of the humiliation of Jesus Christ. We speak about the humiliation of Christ. We speak about the exaltation of Christ. Reformed theology draws a distinction between Christ's state of humiliation, which consisted in his suffering and death, and his state of exaltation, which consisted in his resurrection, his ascension, and heavenly session. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. Oh, tonight he's exalted far above all. This very night, 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus is upon the throne of glory, and he is the King. It was always the exaltation of Christ before the incarnation, before he came into the world, and after the incarnation. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended into glory, He resumed his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne of eternal glory. He is seated on high as our God and our Savior. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's the great heavenly high priest. However, there was this short period of time in the history of our world when he who was the eternal God, the second person of the glorious Trinity, condescended in his state of humiliation. This is when he entered this scene of time for a period of 33.5 years. Christ Jesus came into the world. Jesus Christ, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, came into the world. He left the splendor of heaven, his Father's side, the eternal throne, the position of the sovereign ruler of the universe, and descended into the womb of the Virgin Mary when he was conceived there by the power of the Holy Spirit. He divested himself of that glory and majesty which was eternally his, leaving it aside for a season when he assumed our nature in the form of a servant. The supreme lawgiver and the judge of all became subject to the demands and the curse of the law. Christ Jesus came into the world. This humiliation consisted in several experiences, particularly his incarnation. The Word of God tells us he was made flesh. He was born of a woman, took upon himself our humanity. It also consisted in his sufferings, which was a lifetime of suffering in a sin-cursed world, being assaulted by Satan, rejected by his people, and persecuted by his enemies. These sufferings intensified in his final agonies when he was taken by wicked hands in the Garden of Gethsemane and led away first to Caiaphas, then to Pilate, over to Herod for a short period of time, back to Pilate, who sentenced him to death. This humiliation consisted not only in his incarnation, becoming flesh, and also his sufferings, but his crucifixion. That cruel death upon the cross of Calvary, when he died under a judicial sentence for our sin, when he was numbered with the transgressors, and underwent the accursed death, being made a curse for us. It also consisted in his burial. His burial was part of his humiliation, of which the Son of God was also conscious. The Savior abode in the grave, and he removed for us the terrors of the grave. Please, my friends, get this truth into your heart tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world. Look at that little babe in the manger, on the breast of his mother Mary, in her loving arms. It's Christ Jesus who came into the world. That's who he is. And there must have been some mighty reason when he came into this world, when God became flesh. And there was. And Paul speaks about it. And so I want you to notice, secondly, the purpose of this Advent. And you'll mark the little phrase, to save sinners. That's why he came. In loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. This was the very truth that Jesus preached in his ministry. Do you remember he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Praise God, he came to seek. And he's still seeking. He's seeking tonight. If you're not saved, you don't know this saving work that he came to do, in your own experience, your sins have never been put away. He is here tonight. He's seeking you. He's searching for you. And thank God he's able not only to seek, but to save the sinner from his sin. He's here tonight to save you. I love that word safe. It's a good Bible word. And it tells us of why the Lord came into this world. He came to save sinners. Sinners, who are they? It's a broad and inclusive term. It refers chiefly to those who have broken or transgressed the law of God. We speak of sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins that we commit when we violate God's law and we break God's law. And then things that become sin to us when we leave them out of our lives. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we call those sins of omission. Basically, sin, or to be a sinner, is falling short of God's standard. My friends, God has a perfect, holy standard. It is his glory. And every person has come short of that glory, as the Bible speaks about in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short, or fallen short, of the glory of God. It's missing the mark. That's what it is to be a sinner. There is the standard, there's the mark. But every one of us miss it. It's like the archer firing the arrow. He comes short of the target. And every man in this world, he comes short of the standard. Infinitely short of that standard. But praise God, Jesus came to save. Came to rescue us from our sin. Came to do that in time. And came to do it for eternity in the experience of the sinner who comes to him. And he did this by his death upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, we're led to the cross as we think of the little babe that was brought into this world, how Christ Jesus came into this world. We think of how that child grew up, living a perfect life, working out righteousness on our behalf, keeping the law of God that we had broken. And then at the conclusion of his ministry, going there to be crucified upon the cross of Calvary. And in those dark minutes upon the cross, those dark hours, our sins, the Bible says, were laid upon him. And the Lord Jesus now is suffering. He is paying the price for our sin. He is taking that judgment unto himself that we deserved. And there Jesus is dying for sinners. And he's paying that price for sinners. Because he came into this world to save sinners from their sin. Oh, what a mighty purpose in the incarnation, in the first advent of Jesus Christ. And then we see, thirdly, the personal application of this advent. You want to mark what the great apostle says in his testimony statement. He says, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he puts this little appendix in the end of the text and he says, of whom I am chief. In other words, he's saying, I am the worst. I'm the worst offender. I'm the worst of sinners. You know, my friends, this gives great hope to us tonight. It gives great hope for you, the sinner. No matter how far gone into sin and the things of this world that you have gone, he can save you tonight. And it gives us great hope for our loved ones steeped in sin and out in the mountains, wild and bare and far from the shepherd's tender care, that the Lord can retrieve them too. He can save them too. If he saved the chief of sinners, as Paul calls himself, thank God he can save you. And he can save our loved ones. The great apostle Paul, looking back upon his own experience and his own state without Christ and salvation, he terms himself in such a way, of whom I am chief. He knew his own sins. He felt his own guilt. When giving his testimony in verse 13, he called himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. In other words,
That's what I was.
I was the chiefest of them all. I was a top-ranking, dirty, guilty, deep-dyed, old sinner. But he rejoiced in what Christ had done for him, and he immediately, in verse 13, cried out, "But I obtained mercy." Paul's great sins had been forgiven and pardoned by Almighty God, but not forgotten by Paul, who was guilty of these crimes. And though he remembered his sins, and he did so with great regret and shame, he was so glad that Christ had saved him, the chief of sinners, and he obtained mercy from God. Indeed, as we look back and we see our sins, we painfully remember our faults and our shortcomings, our acts of transgression against God's law, our offenses against the Almighty, our wicked thoughts, our unholy words. What a joy it is for the Christian to be able to say in the words of the Apostle Paul, "But I obtained mercy." We can put ourselves right in there with the Apostle. We can rejoice in the knowledge of mercy, of sins forgiven, even the deep and the dark sins of the past. They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. We can say, "Praise God, my sins are gone." What about you tonight in this service? Thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of what's happened here tonight by your presence. But what about you tonight? Am I speaking to some dear sinner in this meeting tonight, and you're out of Christ? Where do you stand in the sight of a holy, infinite God who is angry against sin and sinners every day? Some of you are numbered with the chief of sinners. Oh, you have really identified with Paul's words tonight. As you sit here tonight, you can look back over the course of your life and you can think of awful sins that you've committed. And you can say, just like Paul did, "I'm a chief of sinners. I'm one of the worst offenders." And then there's others tonight, and you're walking down the clean side of the broad road, as we sometimes term it. Outwardly, maybe righteous, morally good in that sense, as far as the world looks on. You haven't committed the sins that Paul committed, or some of the other great sinners that we read about in the Bible who were wonderfully converted. But still you are without Christ, and you're still in your sin. You need Christ. You need a Savior. You need mercy. Let me tell you again, in the words of Scripture, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came to save even the chief of sinners. Is that you tonight? As we think of this first advent of the Savior, wonderfully declared in these words of Paul, has the Lord spoken to your heart? Have you been brought to see your need? Have you come to an understanding why Jesus Christ was born into this world, why he grew up into manhood, and then went to the cross of Calvary that he might suffer and die? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved from your sin? Praise God, you can be. You can be. This very night, you can enclose with the offer of God's grace. You can find mercy in the sight of the Lord. You can be saved right now. Let's bow together in prayer.
Lord, help us just to grasp tonight the greatness, the immensity of what this text is saying. Help our puny minds to take it in, that the anointed Savior
came into this world 2,000 years ago. Very God to very God becoming man. To live in this world. To live perfectly. To work out righteousness. And then at the close of his ministry to die the cruel death of the cross. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Lord, teach us the mighty purpose of God in Christ in the incarnation. And Lord, should there be any in this service without thee, their sins have never been dealt with, their sins have never been put away. And maybe some are even the chief of sinners like Paul. Speak to them now. Teach them the gospel. Show them their need of a Savior. Bring them to faith and repentance in Christ. Do it for your glory, for your name's sake. Amen and amen.